Welcome back to the program. Hour number two of Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you live from Las Vegas, and all the way out there in Boston, Massachusetts is Josh Applebaum hosting and doing an absolutely fabulous job as always. Pleased to be joined by Jeff Erickson, senior editor at RotoWire and host of RotoWire Fantasy Sports today on Sirius XM. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing all right out here in smoky LA, and not smoky and not in the sports night sort of sense, but the actual smoke that's blowing all around out here. It's really horrible air, but yeah. Other than that, I'm excited about the game six here.
Absolutely. I mean, I heard about the fires last night and hope that everybody's going to be okay out there. They had fires in Colorado too. We were talking to James Salinas not too long about that. So hopefully things can be contained and extinguished there out there in California. Help me understand this World Series, because I have a football mind, certainly in college football, pro football. We played to win every single game, but I'm sensing that the Dodgers are okay if they lose game six because they're ready for game seven. You know, we're going to throw Gonsolin out there with his 9.4 ERA in three appearances and be okay. So help me understand this way of thinking for the Dodgers.
You know, this is the first time all playoffs long that we're going to see Tony Gonsolin on a regular rotations rest. And by that, I mean, you know, look at his first appearance came in game two of the NLCS where he's on 16 days off. You know, he was the emergency replacement for Kershaw. Then he pitched in game five, and then he pitched in game seven where he pitched on a day's rest. And then he pitched in game two with only 3 days rest. He hasn't had that regular turn in the rotation. You look at what he did in the regular season. He's a pretty high strikeout guy. You know, he's another one of those guys that the Dodgers have just developed, and I think you're going to see a much different version of him this tonight, and I think the line kind of reflects that a little bit there. Even though the pitching matchup favors the Rays, the Dodgers are still favored.
John, today, really excited to see this World Series Game 6 tonight. In terms of line movement, that's really what I focus on, and I want to get your take on this cap tonight, because what I'm seeing here is relatively, you know, even split in terms of ticket counts, but the line is moving to Tampa Bay here. You saw the Dodgers open around a minus 140 favorite. The line is now down to around minus 130. You've seen this move toward Tampa. They would match a system looking at short playoff dogs historically have some value when the line moves in their favor. But what's your take on this matchup? You know, Snell last time he was out there against Gonsolin, that was game two. You saw Tampa Bay win 6-4. They cashed as a plus 110 dog. I've also seen some under money, 8.5 down to 8. But what do you think of the Rays' chances of winning this game tonight and any lean or any take on the total tonight?
Well, I think it's how deep does Snell go into the game, because the Rays bullpen, which has been amazing in the regular season and early stages of the playoffs, is starting to take on a little leaking water every once in a while here. You saw Nick Anderson, for instance. I think he's given up runs in six of his last seven outings. That's a little disturbing. I mean, he's one of your big core three relievers there. Last time, Snell was cruising, and then yanked after allowing his first couple of hits. It kind of ties into how he's been used over the course of the season. The Rays are going to do their thing, but the Dodgers are so deep. They're so good at taking those long at bats. I worry a little bit about getting to the Rays bullpen. I think they got to leverage this advantage in the starting pitching matchups the best they can.
Yeah. Roberts is talking about too, Jeff, when you think about Gonsolin on that rest that you noted and you talked about, they're hoping for 5 to 6 innings out of this guy.
Right.
I mean, is that realistic? I guess that's my question to you.
It could be. I mean, he was cruising in game two. And I thought it was interesting how quick the hook came as soon as he allowed a couple of guys on. They're really big about letting guys see the order the third time through. And I think that's a big part of that. So if he starts walking guys early, there could be a little bit of trouble there. The other thing is the Rays have to win two games. So they're going to have all hands on deck, kind of two games in a row here.
Right.
And you're going to have to be pretty creative in terms of how they can get through these two games. And meanwhile, the Dodgers can be, they're not going to punt game six, obviously. They want to finish it. They don't want to get down to a winner-take-all game if possible. But you probably won't see Dustin May, for instance, tonight. They're treating Gonsolin as a starter, not as an opener for the first time. I think that's going to be a little bit enlightening to see how they kind of try to get through this game. I'd like to see a little bit more Alex Wood out of him. I think there's a pretty good chance you'll see him go, flip the switch from righty to lefty there and kind of force Kevin Cash to show his hand early.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you, obviously, in terms of betting, we're looking a lot at MVP odds for the World Series, and we have updated odds looking at it today for tonight. Corey Seager, who's been red hot with the bat, playing good defense, obviously, as well, but he's the favorite here, plus 300. Co-favorite, tied with Kershaw, plus 300 as well. The phenom, Rosarena, continues to mash. He's plus 800. Turner plus 650, Buehler plus 650. Mookie was actually the favorite. I think he was plus 500 to start. He's now 10 to 1. But let me just ask you, any of these names jump out to you? Obviously, you know, the Dodgers are up 3 to 2. Most likely they win this series. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but you would assume one of these winners would come from the Dodgers. Who's your money on? Who has impressed you this World Series? And who do you expect to step up big tonight?
Yeah, I like the Mookie odds, to be honest with you there. Just because, you know, you're getting other Dodgers that are a little bit more costly. Mookie makes a couple big plays in this game. Lefty-righty matchup tonight. That could change the narrative quite a bit. I know, you know, he hasn't had as many of the big hits as Seager has, as Turner has. But there's still room for that. And I think the value is kind of there. If the Rays somehow pull this off, Brandon Lau is the guy that kind of jumps out to me, too. Remember, game two, two home runs, one off of Gonsolin, one off of May. The righty-lefty matchup tonight. And then another one tomorrow night against Walker Buehler, if it gets that far. You know, you really kind of have to look at that as like, what sort of scenarios can you see? What's it going to take for the Rays to win? And you try to find a little value ahead of time there. So I don't mind the Lau odds either.
Speaking with Jeff Erickson, senior editor at RotoWire, also host of RotoWire Fantasy Sports on XM, Sirius XM. Jeff, how do the Rays extend this series? Because we want to see game seven. I think I at least a lot of people might. I mean, betting perspectives aside, we watched Washington get back in it. They were down in the series, too. They got back in it and won the World Series, winning and capping out those last two games there. Do the Rays have it in them?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we saw how they don't give up. They battle. Every at-bat is a battle. You saw Saturday night. What an amazing game that was. And just the turnabouts there. They're not this moment's not too big for them. I think we demonstrated that. So they have to keep doing what got them to here. I mean, I'm talking all, it sounds like very cliche-laden to say that, but, you know, rely on their bullpen, keep, you know, grinding out good at-bats, you know, leverage, you know, their platoons, you know, the platoon advantages that they have, and just do what they do best. I think that's, instead of trying to say, like, for instance, okay, Snell, you have to go through seven tonight. Mm-hmm. I think they do something like that. They hang on too long. That's where it kind of melts down a little bit sometimes. They just have to do what they do.
Jeff, going back to, you know, we talked the money line a little bit, slight move here to the Rays, but looking at the total, that's got a lot of action. As we mentioned earlier, it did fall 8.5 down to 8. I guess what I wanted to ask you in terms of watching this series, feeling out this series, in terms of a high scoring game, low scoring game, you know, we saw the over cash the first four games, five games of the series, or the first four, game five, you had an under, a 4-2 game. Historically, I look at systems where it's kind of almost universal across a lot of sports, the NBA especially. Especially hockey, you get late into a series, you usually lead to lower scoring games, tighter games, less risk taking, also quick hooks if a guy gets in trouble. Do you see an offensive outburst? Do you think we get more of the same, more like the last game, a 4-2 start there? Any lean on the total? Do you expect bats to come alive, or do you expect a tight, low scoring game tonight?
Yeah, you talked about a couple of factors that push it towards the under. I'll say, and one more too, is a lot more advanced scouting. You know, you start to see these batters time and time again. You get a better idea how to try to pitch to them. That might push it towards the under. However, this matchup in particular is one that I feel like it might push to the over a little bit. And you mentioned four out of the five have been over, and well, one of them was, you know, was right on 8. Although I think it was probably over for that particular game, but you know, we've only had one game go under 8, and that was the most recent game. And that game had all sorts of missed opportunities. Look at the first and third nobody out against Kershaw, which ended in their Rosarena stolen base attempt at home being out. You know, that was a gilded opportunity that just did not go follow through. I think usually you score at least one run. The run expectancy had to be that high. I'm going to lean towards the over if I were to wager on that.
Expecting the Rays bats to light up or wake up a little bit, looking at that total two for tonight's game, Jeff. In addition to that, the Dodgers, they've caused problems. Morton's talked about being uncomfortable on the bump. I'm sure Glasnow would say the same thing, even though we didn't get those comments from him. Snell, first time around, did a solid job, like you mentioned, but then got pulled after it appeared that the Dodgers were getting to him, making a case again for the Dodgers and their bats to continue doing what they've been doing all this series and during the World Series in terms of producing runs out there.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I think It's easier to root for an over. You know, the game's your bet's never over. You know, it's agony and you're waiting. Oh, just come on, get that last out. You know, when you've got an under. So I think it's more probably human nature to probably want to bet more overs. I wonder how frequently that comes into play, especially when you're dealing with professional gamblers, unlike myself, who's probably more prone to the emotional swings. I want to see another Saturday night game. Right. That was a lot of fun. Let's have more of that.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Jeff, because, you know, I'm not a professional bettor either, but I follow the market, and a lot of the tendencies I look at are recreational bettors, casual bettors, always wanting to lean over, root for a high-scoring game, root for a lot of runs. We got to remember, the odds makers know that. They know these public tendencies, so oftentimes they'll inflate these lines. They maybe are a half run higher than they should be, which creates a lot of value to go under. But I wanted to ask you, just in terms of this pitching matchup, because I'm still walking my mind through this money line play tonight. I do think Tampa Bay is the value play with a line move as a short dog. But you look at Tampa Bay this year going up against Gonsolin, righties. They've really owned righties. They're only 12-12 against lefties, but the Rays are 39-16 against righties this year. Similarly, the Dodgers, 17-8 against lefties. They've owned lefties and righties. It hasn't really mattered with the Dodgers. But I guess what I'm saying here is, which side do you think has an advantage? Do you think the Dodgers going up against a lefty in Snell, the Rays going up against a righty in Gonsolin? If you had to pick, which offense do you think has a more advantageous matchup with the starting pitcher?
I would say the Rays, especially because the Dodgers don't have a ton of lefties in the bullpen. You have Wood and you have Gonzalez. Clark, I guess, is good, but you have to kind of catch lightning in a bottle with him. You don't want him to face any righties whatsoever. So that kind of mitigates some of his advantage. And especially with the three batter minimum rule, you want to kind of limit his exposure. So I think it benefits the Rays a little bit in that respect. If I were to lean one way, I think it would be that, especially for the money line purposes.
Yeah, Jeff, we're looking at the Dodgers in six, minus 143, Dodgers in seven, plus 240. If it does get to seven, Kershaw, Urias, and certainly Bueller, all available in terms of the Dodgers from a pitching standpoint. But the mentality, though, here you have the Dodgers, and even the manager, Roberts, talked about this is our year. Game seven, I don't think they're going to succumb to pressure, certainly, but that's going to be a pressured field moment there for the Dodgers.
Oh, absolutely. You felt it a little bit Sunday night. You know, Kershaw, he was hanging on for dear life with that 4-2 lead. And getting out of that inning, you could just feel the burden lifted off him. Similar to, against the Braves, being able to come back three games down to one. You know, living out here, I mean, everyone was like, oh, here we go again with the Dodgers. Everyone was so down on him when they fell three games to one down. They're like, Kershaw again. There's his narrative again. And then he came back and had that start on Sunday night that kind of buried some of those ghosts. Now, Roberts has a history of leaving Kershaw in there and asking too much out of him in the playoffs, having him go on 3 days rest instead of four, having him pitch that extra inning in relief that he did a year ago against the Nationals. You know, you wonder if they bring him in a game seven, how much are they going to ask out of Kershaw on just a couple days rest? I hope, Kershaw is one of the best. I want his legacy to be stronger. Appreciating the pitcher that he is, I hope he doesn't get put in a situation where they ask too much of him. He's not Madison Bumgarner. That shouldn't be held against him. That was a rare unicorn-like situation. And to expect that out of every starting pitcher is probably asking too much.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you a question because I don't get an opportunity to talk to many Dodgers fans who are in L.A. I'm in Boston, obviously, today. 16 years ago today, Red Sox won the World Series, broke the curse. So I was texting my dad earlier, talking about I was 17 years old when it happened. So looking back on that, it was great. But what's the feel for the Dodgers in L.A.? Obviously, L.A. is known as a market that you got so much going on, great weather. Do they take their sports seriously or not? Has L.A. gotten behind this team? Obviously, just what's the temperature of the fandom and the city for the Dodgers tonight, possibly winning their first World Series since 1988?
Oh, it's a Lakers and Dodgers town. For sure. Now, be clear, I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm actually a transplant. I'm a Reds fan, believe it or not. But there's this sense of dread sometimes. I mean, the fact is they've fallen short every year since 88. So there's a lot of institutional memory, a lot of close calls, a lot of here we go again sort of thing. So I think, there's going to be a big release if and when they actually win the next World Series. But until then, I think there are always going to be a little bit of doubt nagging in the back of their head. Whereas Laker fans are like, yeah, we got this all the time. And they're annoying that way. But It will be pretty, you know, it's weird times because we can't have a parade, but, you know, there'll be plenty of fireworks lit off in my neighborhood if and when it happens.
I still can't believe it's been since 1988, really, for the Dodgers, but it's been an amazing World Series, and your appearance on the show has been amazing as well. Jeff, watch the game and enjoy the game and root for either way on this World Series. It's been spectacular so far. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jeff
Erickson, senior editor at RotoWire, also host of RotoWire Fantasy Sports, XM, Sirius XM Radio. Josh, I don't know any information that helped you there in terms of where you want to lean. I know you talked about the value there with the Rays.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Jeff was great. RotoWire does awesome work, especially if you're a DFS guy or you like player props. They have some great information there. Obviously, we're more focused on the betting line for the game, but you do have opportunities as well. But maybe after the break, Pritch, we'll talk about it. But some interesting nuggets, and glad to have Jeff join us today.
Yeah, we're going to have time to, towards the end of the show as well, get some picks and leanings from you, Josh, and market insight as well. Looking forward to that. Will a team go undefeated or will a team stay winless? Hot button topic. We'll talk about that next on Betting Across America when it continues live right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Josh Applebaum on the East Coast in Boston. And Josh, one undefeated team left in the National Football League and one team that remains winless. We know who they are, Steelers, certainly the undefeated team, and the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, have not won a game so far. Is it worth it to bet on either of them finishing that way? And for reference, 16-0, the Patriots, this will cheer you up a little bit. 2007, Patriots went 16-0. And then 2017, the Browns, they didn't win a game, and then the 2008 Lions did not win a game either.
Yeah, we have seen it happen before, Pritch, and I appreciate the cheering up. Because again, if I see any more Brady throwing touchdown passes to the Gronk, I'm gonna puke. But yeah, looking at this spot here, Pritch, remember, a lot of these props, you tend to get a lot of recreational money on the yeses that will pay out a big amount, whereas a lot of pros, I think, especially in the Super Bowl, like I liken this to Super Bowl props where you have, will there be a safety? Will there be a 2-point conversion? Usually that doesn't happen, but a lot of recreational money will come in on that. So what I'm looking at here, Pritch, Steelers 16-0, 11-1, 19-0, 20-1. I mean, it's a good price, but just look at the odds and what their schedule says coming up here, because right off the bat, we may see the Steelers lose a game this weekend because they are an underdog as we go to the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the Ravens, the sharp play to me is actually Steelers and the points, because Ravens open -5.5. The line is now down to 3.5. I've seen a lot of respected money hit the Steelers getting the points. Typically these divisional games have a lot of value to the dog. It seems like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, it's always a 3-point game. It's, you know, 27-24, one of these teams. It's always close. But right off the bat, the odds makers are telling you Ravens, especially off a bye, are favored to win this week. So that would kind of blow up your play if you want to bet on the Steelers to go undefeated here. The Jets, we talked about it last week, Pritch. They still intrigue me here to go winless. You know, if you bet that prop last week, you got a bit of a scare because they're actually up early against the Bills, and the Bills, you know, obviously came back and won that game. But the Jets finally covered a number for the first time in forever here. So I would lean a little more to the Jets. Obviously, you're getting a better payout with the Steelers, but from the lines, just looking at this week, Steelers are expected to lose as they go to Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, the way that the Jets are looking, I would lean that way as well in terms of them remaining winless. The chances of them also getting a package deal of Sweeney and certainly Trevor Lawrence it becomes appealing too if they remain winless. So I don't know. I would lean that way. I mean, looking at that schedule too, I'm trying to find a victory for the Jets. And I think some devastating things have to happen in order for those teams to lose to the Jets that remain on their schedule. like a quarterback or a coach being fired or something that's just off the charts in terms that favor the Jets, or not favor the Jets, but at least give them a chance to win.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the schedule here, Pritch. I'm looking at a loss, and dare I say, Patriots Monday Night Football. You know, if we see, again, this is bizarro land that we live in now, but Stidham, you know, the funny thing is in New England, a lot of people are saying actually start Hoyer, because he is actually, you know, somewhat moves the ball and a little more competent. But, you know, looking at that game, that'll be a divisional game. Jets are probably going to be maybe a 3-point dog in that one, so keep an eye out for that one. The one thing I would mention, Pritch, is look at the Jets this week. We got to talk about this line here. The Jets are a massive dog as they go to Kansas City Chiefs. And this is just a ridiculous line that we're looking at here where, believe it or not, you're taking in a little bit of respected money on the Jets. This line opened at Kansas City Chiefs minus 21. That's one of the biggest spreads you're ever going to see. Over the past decade, we've only had a handful of these lines that are 20 points or more. And actually, the dog has covered. I want to say the dog is 5-1 the last time there's been a 20-point dog or more. It's very rare, but usually these big, big points, the public says, yeah, Chiefs are going to win by 30, but maybe they lose, but maybe they win by, you know, 18, 19, something like that. But looking at this line here, it opened Chiefs minus 21. Mm-hmm. Public's laying the number with the Chiefs. Chiefs are great. Jets are terrible. But yet this line is down to 19.5 here, Pritch. So we're seeing this line move toward New York, even though big betting from the public is on the Chiefs. So let me ask you this, Pritch. I think it's, you know, Chiefs are going to win the game. I think that's safe to say, but do you like the Jets if Darnold's playing better? They finally stayed in a game and covered a number last week. Any reason to believe plus 19.5 they can cover that number?
It makes me wish I would have grabbed plus 21.5. That's what that makes me believe, because that number has changed that way. So, you know, I maybe missed a boat on that one. But no, I'm not going to touch it. The Jets, they are hideous. They are. I mean, think about the psychology of it. Like the pressure mounting for Pittsburgh to go undefeated. I mean, that's pressure, right? But there's no pressure for you to go winless, because that's what you want. I mean, if you're the Jets, you need to start all over. And so you want to remain winless. So there's no pressure there. Just go out there and put on the pads and play a game. Up next, Josh and I, we're going to talk about some lines that I've noticed that don't look right. I might be right. I might be wrong. I'll find out next. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Circa's Mega Bar will be Nevada's longest bar at 165 feet. You'll get to see that and everything else Circa has to offer soon. Opening night is tonight, and VSiN is bringing you inside the big event. We are streaming live from 10 p.m. Eastern through 7 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning on VSiN.com, so you can experience the grand opening festivities. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, and the VSiN team for every minute of the fun. It's all free, all night, on vsin.com. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Josh, I'm trying to do it every week. I'm trying to find lines on a Tuesday that just don't look right. I'm going to get your thoughts on these. I think I've been doing okay so far. But
you've been killing it. This is my favorite segment, Pritch. Let's do it.
Oh, right on. Okay, so Green Bay, -6.5 at home against Minnesota. I feel like there's an invitation for me to take this game because it's under the key number of 7. At home against a team that's faltering, a team that's not playing great football. I feel like there's an open invitation right there, but maybe a trap.
So I think you bring up a great point here, Pritch, and we got to admit, you know, I was betting against the Packers last week. There's a sharp line move, 3.5 down to 3 or 2.5 against Houston. Michael Lombardi was telling me, you're an idiot, just lay it with the Packers. And of course, Houston made me look terrible and the Packers rolled. So with all that being said, Green Bay -6.5 looks like an automatic play here. However, I will warn you a little bit, Pritch, this does seem like a bit of a trap to me. This line opened at Packers -7. The public is all over Green Bay, getting about 2/3 or more of the bets. Yet we did see this line fall to 6.5. So on the one hand, if you like Green Bay, you're getting a better number, -6.5 to win by 7, you cover. However, you got to remember, why are you getting a better number? It's because you did have some respected money hit Minnesota plus 7, caused that line to fall off the key number. With Minnesota, what you like about them, number one, they're rested. They're coming off a bye. Also, this is what we talked about all show. Road divisional dogs, divisional games. Typically, these are tight games. The team getting the points has a built-in advantage. Typically losing, but typically covering the number. Again, you know, we're seeing that across multiple games this week, as you know, headlined by Atlanta and Carolina. But this line is moving to Minnesota. That would be a sharp reverse line move. Pritch, if you're worried about this spot, worried about a trap, the under is intriguing. You know, you have seen this line fall 55.5 down to 54.5. This is a big weather game. As of now, there could be 20-mile-an-hour winds at Green Bay. The thing that you worry about, you know, Minnesota, they're 4-2 to the over. But maybe a tight lower division, lower scoring divisional game. But I got to admit, Vikings plus 7 to me, that's got me interested.
Yeah, so early money, respected money came in early on this one because of that number at 7, right? And that's what drove it down to 6.5. So the respected money this early, does that stand out at all?
That stands out to me just in terms of, like we mentioned earlier, a lot of pro bettors betting off their models, algorithms, setting their own numbers, okay, are saying, okay, right off the bat, plus 7, that's some value there. So again, if you really want to be successful and dialed into betting the NFL or really any sport, but especially the NFL, watch the way this line moves and the way that the metamorphosis of the line throughout the week. So right off the bat, we see Minnesota down to 6.5. Tells us sharp money hit Minnesota plus 7. Now what happens? Does this continue to fall to 6? Does it go back to 7? You have kind of an opening here where it looks like sharps Vikings, but how does this transition and move throughout the week as limits get raised? Ideally, you know, perfect scenario would be you grab Vikings plus 7, the line falls to 6, it continues to fall. But as we saw with that Bears game last night, Pritch, that was pretty value play to the Bears most of the week. And then late, you saw that move to the Rams. So take these early moves with a grain of salt. They are important to me because they're letting you know that wise guys are coming in. But remember, once limits get raised, those late moves may be even more meaningful.
Okay, let's go on to Buffalo in New England. We were talking about them earlier. I want to note them now because we've seen a line movement. Last night, I saw this line, Buffalo minus 4. It's now down to 3.5.
Yeah, this line is moving to the Patriots. So again, this is a sharp move to the Pats. You're getting value on the Pats because they've looked so awful the last few games here. And they're 2-4, two games under 500 for the first time since 2001. I was, a freshman in high school back then, Pritch. So it's been a while. But this is a classic. I can bet on the Patriots without bias, just by following the number here and looking at profitable situations, because you have public all over Buffalo. Public thinks the Pats are completely done. You can buy low on New England here off a bunch of losses, but really Buffalo 4 down to 3.5. And why is that key? Because public's on Buffalo, and also New England matches as a divisional dog on the road. That road COVID move, that line moving to that road team that's also been profitable this year. And you look at the total here, Pritch, mm-hmm, this line is tanking to the total. To the under. It opened 46. It's down to 43. I'm seeing some shops get closer to 42. This could be a very tight, low-scoring game, similar to maybe that Jets game with the Bills last week. And then also, you could have about 20-mile-an-hour winds up in New York. So Patriots have value line move, and also some under money coming in.
Sure, and the Bills are going to have to find a way to score once they get into the red zone, maybe with Josh Allen and his running ability. Same thing with Cam Newton. If Cam Newton is struggling throwing the football, I might expect him to maybe run the football. And also, certainly, Josh McDaniels, the coordinator, designing some more either run-pass options for Cam Newton or design running plays for Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think, Pritch, a lot of things people are talking about in New England, in my neck of the woods, is why are you making Cam into something that he's not? Mm-hmm. He's not a pocket passer, a statue out there reading progressions and throwing it. He's a guy who, get him out on the run, do the RPOs, involve the run game, and you know, short little dump off passes, screens. So you got to get back to really kind of his strengths. I think that's important overall. Another game I want to throw at you, Pritch, which I've seen some smart money come in a little bit, is your neck of the woods, the Vegas Raiders. Cleveland is at home. Cleveland opened minus 3. Unfortunately, Michael Lombardi, he was mad because they missed the extra point, and he had Cleveland in that game against the Bengals. But Cleveland opened minus 3. This line is now down to 2.5 across the market. So public is to saying, hey, you know, Vegas got blown out by Tampa Bay. Cleveland's off a win. Cleveland's 5-2. They're looking good. This is a short line. Just, you know, give me the Browns at home. But yet, reverse line move. Line's moving. You see 3 on the board, but a lot of these books are now 2.5. And I have a system when you look at dogs off a blowout next week, they're really underrated and they cover at a pretty good number, around 56%. But any reason to like Vegas +3? Let's say you got the +3 here, Pritch. What do you think of this play here with Vegas?
Well, last time they were on the road, they scored 40 points against Kansas City. So maybe sharps are looking at that. Trent Brown and the offensive line is going to have a whole week of preparation. I think Vegas, the Raiders, can move the ball against anybody, any defense in the National Football League, as long as they don't make mistakes out there, Josh. Defensively, they're challenged, but so are the Browns now without Odell Beckham Jr. I think Baker Mayfield without Odell might get exposed a little bit more. The Raiders certainly have stopped the run against some elite rushing teams too. So interesting notes right there. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, I'm sure. But up next, more market insights from the great Josh Applebaum, the World Series Week 8 in the National Football League, college football as well. That's all next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's showtime at BetMGM Sports as baseball fans gear up for World Series wagering. Register today and win $100 in free bets. Just place a $1 moneyline wager on any World Series game, and if any player in the game hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up to take advantage of this offer. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if a home run is hit in a World Series game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, cleaning up the National Football League in terms of games or lines that just don't look right to me. The Chargers and the Broncos, respect on the Chargers as a road favorite, -3. The Broncos, pretty good ATS at home. I know they have some problems, but a lot of respect for Justin Herbert, that rookie, and the Chargers coming into town in Denver.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pritch. And these two teams, you know, bad records, 2-4, but they've actually been really good for bettors here. You look at Chargers 5-1 ATS, Broncos 4-2 ATS. What I'm seeing for this game here, Pritch, and I'd love to get your thoughts. I'm seeing Denver with some value here. You do have about 2/3 of bets grabbing the Chargers here, obviously off a win. Herbert's looked pretty good. He's now, I believe, your favorite to win Rookie of the Year. But this line opened, depending on where you're looking, it was pretty much -2.5. Or -3 on the road to the Chargers. Any 2.5s got up to 3. A lot of these -3s, though, they're pretty static, but a lot of these -3s are -115 to the Chargers. So I'm kind of the opinion of letting the public try to push the Chargers to -3.5, in which case I would look to buy low on the Broncos +3.5. Even the 3, you're at a key number there, which is important. But what I like about Denver is, you know, contrarian home dog, also a divisional dog, which you talk about a lot, that familiarity, getting points at home. I still love Herbert, but again, just philosophy wise, I don't like laying points on the road with a rookie quarterback historically, unless you're really great and you can buck that trend. Usually you want to bet against that, but Denver's contrarian, divisional dog. You've also seen some under money come in 45.5 down to 44, and Denver would be a divisional dog with a low total. Low totals basically benefit the team getting points in that spot. But Pritch, what's your take on the Broncos? I like them getting the points against the Chiefs. They totally let me down, made me look like an idiot last week. So maybe I just shouldn't bet against the Chiefs. But any reason to like Drew Lock, Denver, getting points at home against Chargers?
Yeah, I think Drew Lock is up against it. You know, John Elway gave him a vote of confidence in terms of he thinks he's going to be an elite type of quarterback in the league someday, but he doesn't have a lot of starts or a lot of experience because he's been injured. And then Vic Fangio, as head coach, said the only way Drew Lock is going to improve is by playing. So I don't think he's looking over his shoulder in terms of being benched or replaced. And to me, that tells you, okay, everybody's telling me to get better. I think Drew Lock, if he gets better with the weapons that he has, the offensive line coming together, the rushing attack too for the Broncos at home, I think that's a nice situation to be in if you're Drew Lock. And then defensively, Bradley Chubb is playing normal football. He's back to normal. They miss Von Miller, certainly. But some other guys have stepped up too for that football team. So I think there's still some fight in the Broncos. I think there's just too much respect right now on Justin Herbert and the Chargers. The Chargers and Justin Herbert, he's been fantastic, really, offensively, what he's been doing. But last week, Jacksonville going up and down the field against that defense was kind of revealing too. So I just looked at that line. And I just thought it was a bit off.
No, I'm totally with you. That caught my eye as well. And I think kind of a theme of this week as well, Pritch, is we talk about three being the most important number, the key number in the NFL, most common margin of victory. A lot of games land on three. And we have a lot of games right on three, 2.5, 3.5. You look at Atlanta, Carolina, run through the board here. New England is now around 3.5. You look at that. That San Fran Seattle game is right on three. Chargers Denver, we just hit on, is right on three. So what I'm getting at here is, you know, depending on what side you like, you do your capping, you do your homework, you pick a side that you think is the smart side. Make sure you're on or off these key numbers. And I'll throw another one at you, Pritch. The Indianapolis Colts going to Detroit. This one has been intriguing to me as well. This to me is a live dog opportunity here on Detroit. You saw Indy, they opened around -2.5 or -3. They pretty much stayed at three, though, and a lot of books that were at three are now coming down back toward 2.5. So that tells me that most of the liability in this game has been on the Detroit Lions getting three at home. Public is on Indy here. Detroit finally having some wins here. When's the last time Patricia had a two-game win streak? Very rare here.
Sure.
but the Colts, I mean, if you like the Colts, the one thing you would like about Indy is the fact that road favorites off a bye do pretty well. So if you tell me at a -2.5, you like Indy, okay, I understand that. But if it's at three, to me, Detroit has shown a lot of liability. Any reason to like Detroit here, Pritch, getting the three? What's your take on Detroit so far this year?
Oh man, I'm unsettled on Detroit too. Two games they've won. You think about how they won. If Gurley if Atlanta just takes a knee, even right? I mean, Gurley, we could blame him, but if Atlanta just takes a knee after getting the first down, okay, the game's over. But they're inventing ways to lose. That's the thing, right? Detroit's not winning games. I think they're taking advantage of teams not being able to win games, their opponents. So there's been a little bit of that. And then certainly the Colts have not impressed, but yet it is Phillip Rivers. I mean, I think he does enough. There's no weather to be concerned about in this matchup either. So maybe off a bye, the Colts get it together this week.
Yeah, I think that's intriguing. Another game definitely to keep an eye on. The other one I wanted to hit with you, Pritch, Tennessee and Cincinnati. We've seen a big, big move here toward the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, they just lost their first game of the year to the Steelers here. But now they're going to Cincinnati. They're going to play our guy Joe Covers here, Joe Burrow, who's covered a lot of numbers this year. They lose, but they seem to find a way to cover, which is great if you've been backing the Bengals this year. But this line opened around -3.5, -4, pretty low number. And it's been just getting hammered all the way up to -6. So really, I don't think it's just public. It seems to me smart money also has come here on the Titans, causing this big adjustment here. Obviously, off a loss, you expect them to bounce back. I don't want to get too deep into the kind of gambler's fallacy standpoint there. But what I'm looking at here is if you like the Bengals, if you think they can, lose by a close margin here, I'd wait it out. Let that line move up as high as it goes. It's already at 6. Maybe it goes to 6.5. I doubt it gets to 7. But what's your take here, Pritch? I mean, it looks like Tennessee is getting a lot of money. You would have really liked to have jumped on them when they were, around -4, though.
I agree with that. -6 is might be too steep there. Obviously, the Sharps kind of jumped on that number early. But it's intriguing because you have the Titans that have a poorly ranked defense, but yet they almost beat the Steelers. Offensively, I think they're off the charts, right? I mean, the explosive nature on the outside, Tannehill, how he's playing, Derrick Henry, they have everything in their favor offensively. It's just, can they stop anybody defensively? And if they can, if they shore that up, if they get better on that side of the ball, this could be a Super Bowl caliber football team.
It very well could be, Pritch. And I know we're up against it here, so I just want to keep throwing games at you. This is my favorite part of the show. But what's your take on Tua? Tua is making his debut. Right. Dolphins are off a bye. Rams are. This is a big rest versus tired matchup. Rams looking good. Big Monday night win last night, but now they're on a short week playing a Dolphins team coming off a bye. So that's an advantage to Miami. It does look like, though, early smart money thinks this line may have opened a bit too low. The Rams open around -3, -3.5. They're all the way up to 4. A lot of these 4s are juiced up -120. It may even go to 4.5. To me, the value play there will be Miami. My only concern is, what are you going to get from Tua? It's a big unknown in this spot here. But Pritch, what's your take on Tua? I remember last week we said, did they go to him too early? What's your take on a rookie quarterback here making his first start against Aaron Donald? Good luck with that.
Good luck with that is true. Right. I mean, here's my take on it, Josh. They had to switch the offense over. He's a left-handed quarterback, right? So you do it during the bye week, whether the bye week was supposed to be week 11 or in fact week 7 because of COVID. So the schedule changed. I think the Dolphins said, okay, now that we have a situation in which we have a bye, let's go ahead and put Tua in there so we can turn over the offense from a right-handed offense to a left-handed offense. And that takes time, you know, and that's in practice. That's not in a game against the Rams. So Tua, I know what we see from young quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks in Burrow and Herbert. But, Tua, I don't know if he gets off to that kind of start against the Rams. In particular, everybody else now having to field a left-handed offense.
Great point there, Pritch. And again, maybe a lower scoring game here. You have seen the Rams. That's funny. They've gone 5-2 to the over. Dolphins have been an over team as well, but that total opened 47. It's down to 46. That's definitely notable. But then Pritch, I know we got to get out of here in a second. What are you doing for the World Series tonight? I know you got your tux ready. your tux is ready. You're going to Circa. It's going to be a great time. You're going to get a booth. Some bottle treatment. That's what I heard.
I got to be careful. So, definitely wearing a mask, right? And so that'd be interesting. But no, I'll be locked in a little bit, whether it's on the phone or taking a look at all the TVs. I'm sure the sports book over there at Circa is going to have too. So I'll be well covered for the World Series. I mean, enjoy that thing, though. I think we're going to get an outstanding game tonight.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about it. Yeah, wear your mask, social distance, Pritch. Your hand sanitizer. You got it all going here. But I'm looking at Tampa Bay. I like the way this line has moved. I still think the Dodgers maybe Game 7 win it. They could very well win tonight. But I like this line move to the Rays. Dodgers open around -140. They're down to -130. You've seen a 10-cent move. I'm seeing some books even inch down to Rays around +116, +117. I got a good system here. Short dogs in the playoffs historically have some value in general. Also seen some under money come in. It worries me with these bats. They could come alive, but that 8 down to 8.5, if it comes back to 8.5, that intrigues me. But I'll be rooting for the Rays tonight, Pritch.
Okay, and Seager MVP?
That's my guy. Hopefully he doesn't have a walk-off tonight, though.
I hear you. Well, enjoy the game, certainly, and can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. But up next, my guys in the desert right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you.